And the rest of us, let's turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. The junior church gets any bigger, they're going to have to meet in the auditorium, and the rest of us will be dismissed downstairs. That's how it's going to have to work after a while. Very thankful for the junior church. The workers do a fabulous job down there, and your kids are will be having a good time, but they'll also be learning important things from God's Word, and we're thankful for the faithfulness of those teachers just to invest themselves in the lives of our young ones, and I speak ours. I've got two down there today, and we also have one in the nursery, and we are thankful for the nursery workers as well. We have been as a church going through the Gospel of John for the last 2 years, and we're on John 20, but don't turn there, because we're taking a little break, and we are going to be looking in Psalms 23. And this is a psalm that we're all very familiar with, and I believe it's probably the most popular portion of Scripture. I talked about this just by way of introduction last week. Is there's something instinctive in mankind, and even in human nature, that knows that they need somebody to follow. And I do a poll at the jail. I usually ask them different doctrinal questions, and I'll ask them if they can quote John 3:16. And I think between John 3:16 and Psalms 23, I really think Psalms 23 has it as the most popular portion of Scripture in the Bible. I say, the Lord is my, and they automatically say shepherd. And whether or not he is or not is their decision, their choice, but they know that he should be their shepherd. And so we're going to be talking about verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, this morning. And so let's look at verse number one there, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's ask God's blessing on his word as we preach it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious portion of Scripture. Lord, it's one of the first scriptures that are on our lips as infants, and one of the last scriptures that are on our lips as we close our eyes in death. And we thank you for the preciousness of it. We thank you for the place it has in our hearts and in our lives. And maybe there's people here this morning that have it framed up on their walls and their homes. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a new, fresh look at it today as we speak about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I pray that that verse would be fully explained and understood. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. The writer of this psalm is King David. King David was the most famous man in the Bible, and we gave a little quotation last week, the most mentioned man in the Bible. 54 chapters of the Bible are about King David, and David was a special man unto God for one reason. He was a man after God's own heart. And I just talked to a man a couple weeks ago, and he's a soldier. He's a sniper, and he was asking me. He says, "You know, can God receive someone who was a warrior?" And I said, "Well, there is a famous man in the Bible named King David, and the chants about him were Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." And I told him, proceeded to tell him, I figured since he is infantry and a sniper, he could handle it. But I told him how David purchased his first wife. Look it up yourself Okay? And so I said, here is a man that was a mighty warrior, but yet he had tenderness in his heart toward God. That's all God cares about this morning. Out of your heart proceeds the issues of life. You can be wrong on the, you can be right on the outside, but wrong on the inside. And I could, I've been going to church long enough where I could really fake you out. I mean, know exactly how to hold my Bible and how to act spiritual. I know the spiritual jargon. Well, I'll be paying for you, brother. Right? And so I can look really good on the outside, but God can see in my heart and see that there is nothing that is towards Him in my heart. Remember the Pharisees of Jesus' day? He called them whitewashed sepulchers. That means that they were whitewashed tombs. They were dead on the inside, and they had a very clean exterior in their life. God cares about one thing, and that is your heart. If you get your heart right with God, then the right things will proceed to the outside of your life. God cares about your direction this morning more than He does anything else. And you see a new person when they first receive Christ. I'm never going to come to you with a long list of do's and don'ts. I'm going to say, hey, walk with God, read your Bible, pray, be around the people of God, talk about God, share the things of God, and grow in your heart relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving Christ as my Savior and living for Him is the easiest thing that I've ever done. I didn't get saved when I was 22 years old, and living for the devil's very hard. He's a hard taskmaster. There is no rest, the Bible says, for the wicked. The wicked is as a tossed sea, being tossed to and fro, and the sea tosses up mire and filth and junk. And that was my life, and that was your life before you came to Christ. You think that you're your own servant, that you're your own shepherd. But the truth is that it says in Ephesians chapter number 2, that in times past you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Who was your shepherd before you were saved? Satan ultimately was your shepherd. And something transpires when we believe in God as our Savior. We're taken out of Satan's family and placed into God. That's what we call born again. And what happens when you believe on Christ, that you're born again by the Spirit of God. You're sealed by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit comes in you. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. Christ in our heart. I heard about a young man who's in school, and his teacher was, a very educated, self-proclaimed scholar, and didn't believe in all this silliness and foolishness of religion, and knew that little Johnny, went to Sunday school every Sunday, and his parents were believers, and was so mean to Johnny, making him go to church instead of making his own spiritual decisions, So he said, Johnny, he's going to throw up Johnny's face. Johnny, how big is Jesus anyway? And Johnny says, well, I know he's big enough to fill up the whole world, and he's small enough to live in my heart. You know that's true. You know that's good theology. That you ask me why I know God lives as we sing, because He lives within my heart. The Bible says when we receive Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That Christ puts within us the Spirit and the capacity to live for God. And I can say along with David, when I'm right with God and when my heart's aligned with God, I can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. No matter what comes into my life, whatever storms that come into my life, whether health, sickness, whether there is conflict by other people, other relationships, I can say, if my heart is right with God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Heard the Southerner that said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. You know what Paul said in Philippians? He said, I have learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. You know where he wrote that from? Prison. And he didn't have cable television and tennis courts, by the way. He didn't get a free education either, college degree or anything. And here he says, I have learned whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. And you know, it's possible for you, it's possible for me to say along with David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The number one thing that you and I, it's the president. Okay. And the number one thing, I thought I heard the red phone ringing there for a second. The number one thing that you and I want in our life is that contentment. We want the peace that passes all understanding. Why are we so often, so many times, why are we a poor testimony for the Lord? So we don't have anything in our own personal lives that we can offer other people. And what do other people want? They want peace and contentment in their own toilsome life. You know, we're worried and full of fret and full of fear and full of doubts and just our lives are in turmoil, anxiety. You know what anxiety means? It means to be torn apart. It means to be torn and wrenched apart, pulled in all different directions. And when we have this, it's very hard for us to share our faith with others, is it not? I mean, if I'm a Christian, I have to be worried all the time like you. Right? I have to be full of doubt and full of fear and God never intended for you and I to be full of doubt, to be full of fear. He wants us to have that peace. He wants us to have that that feeling that, hey, everything is under control. Why? For one reason, the Lord is my shepherd. Now there's a relationship to the shepherd that we talked a little bit about last week. One thing is that if we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're identifying ourselves as a sheep. Now, a sheep is not majestic. The sheep is not beautiful. A sheep is not a creature of great wisdom, of great stature. I don't think that if you had a nightmare last night, you dreamed about a sheep that was attacking you. There is nothing intimidating. There is nothing wowing about a sheep. You know, a sheep doesn't know the north from the south, the east from the west. He doesn't know what's over the next knoll. And what we say, if the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying that I'm nothing more than an ignorant sheep. I am just going to follow the shepherd. And you know, people would say, you know, religion, you know, your religion is a crutch. And I want to say, no, it's not. It's a wheelchair. Okay? Because if I am right with God, I am wholly leaning upon Him. I am saying, I don't know anything apart from God. It's kind of like when you're talking to somebody at work and they say, and you say, well, God's Word says this about this issue. Well, I know that, but what do you think? I don't think anything apart from the Word of God. You know, as somebody said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. You know what a sheep says? The Bible says it. That settles it. I'm not even going to think about it. That is going to be the road that I take. And so there's a submissive aspect of saying the Lord is my shepherd. That means I am putting myself underneath His shepherding. And wherever He goes and wherever He leads in my life, I am going to follow my shepherd. There's one thing about the shepherd I wanted to point out this morning. That is the passion of the shepherd. The passion of the shepherd. Did you know, and I've heard people say this, and I understand what they mean, but they'll say, you know, I was searching and I was seeking for God, and praise the Lord, I finally found Him. And I know what you're saying, because I know before I got saved, there was a big emptiness, a big sucking black hole right in the center of my being. But you know what that was? That was the shepherd coming to me and bringing me after Himself. You know, the disciples in the New Testament, here's how all other teachers worked. They would teach, and then if you desired to be the disciple of the teacher, you would come to the teacher and say, let me be your disciple, and he would give you permission whether or not he chose to let you be a disciple. But you know what the Lord Jesus did? He's walking along the shores of Galilee, and he sees some fishermen there, and they're cleaning their nets, and he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He sees Matthew at the receipt of custom. custom, and he says, Matthew, come follow me. And he left his receipt and custom and followed the Lord. And we see that the Lord comes up to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is looking down at the Lord, short little guy, wee little man, up in a tree, and says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. In the Old Testament, we find a great man of faith, Abraham. And you say, well, Abraham must have sought after God. No, you know what happened is that the Lord came to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and found a man whose father was a pagan, perhaps even was a pagan, and says, come to a place that I will tell thee of. 70 years old, and Abraham says, Sarah, let's pack the stuff because we're moving on out of here. Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. You don't know. Yeah, we better tell our parents, we better tell your friends, we better tell our loved ones here in the land of Ur that we're leaving. And so they tell everybody, hey, we're heading out. Where are you going? I don't know. God just told me to follow him, and I don't know where I'm going to end up, but he surely will lead me. You know, this is the Christian life. The Bible says this. It says in Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. It says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So there's nobody that seeks after God, the Bible says, and it says all we like sheep have gone our own way. That means somebody, a sinner, he pursues wealth because he thinks that wealth is going to satisfy him. And he thinks, you know, he's got raises, he's got bonuses, and nothing seems to satisfy his soul. He thinks, well, maybe if I have a better vacation or a vacation home or buy a bigger boat or a bigger house, a bigger car, that is going to satisfy my soul. And so he is over here trying to satisfy his soul with the wealth of this world. And then there's another man who is a lustful man, and he thinks that, boy, if I can just satisfy the lusts of my heart with relationships and all sorts of things. There's some people out here, and I feel for them. And there's, I'm sure, not too far from here, women who have given their life to try to find a relationship that satisfies, and after many different relationships, they think, well, maybe if there's just some other guy out there that will satisfy the emptiness and the hollowness of my heart, then they're pursuing that. And someone else is pursuing some sort of political career, or some sort of power career, or whatever that may be. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way. And the Lord has made him shepherd of us all. The Lord Jesus gave us a mission statement, and it was this. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He says, I came over here to this man who's pursuing his wealth, and I'm saying that is not the way you come and follow me. And I'm coming to call this person over here that has given their life to relationships and saying, come, follow me. And I'm coming over here to the drunk, to the alcoholic, to the drug abuser. I'm coming over here to this person who's just lives their whole life to try to be nice and try to be good. And I'm saying, come, follow me. And he said, I didn't come into the world to call the righteous. I came into the world to call sinners to repent. You know what repent means? Okay, I'm going to stop following riches. I'm going to follow Christ. Okay, I'm going to stop following relationships. I'm going to follow Christ. That means I turn my back on my sin and I follow the new shepherd. The shepherd comes and he calls his sheep unto himself. This is the wonderful thing about salvation, is that he is the first one that says, I will. Hereby we perceive the word love of God, because he laid down his life for us. You know, when Christ was on the cross, he was saying, I will, to Jack Young. All of his sins, he knew me before I ever knew him. He loved me before I ever loved him. And when he came to me, he had already paid for my sins, and he already knew me, and he already loved me, and he called me unto himself. I want to say, hey, what a wonderful shepherd this morning that he chose me. The Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, the Lord loved me, died for me, and he chose me to go and follow him. So we were the shepherd's choice. The Lord came to us and he invited us into a relationship with him. Another thing about the shepherd is that he knows his sheep. One of the challenges in the New Testament to pastors, to shepherds and shepherds of the church and leaders of the church, he says, know the state of thy flocks. We're to know the people in our church. We're to know them. You want to hear another challenge? It says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Okay? How many guys are still working on that one? I have no idea. Only 13 years, so I'm still, maybe another 13, right? And so he says, know the state of thy flocks. He says, you shepherds, he says, know your people. Commanded several times, not just once, not just twice, but several times to pastors to know the state of thy flocks. Well, the Lord would never command a pastor to do something that he has not already done as a great shepherd, would he? And he knows the sheep, it says in John chapter number 10, and he calls them by name. How well does God know you this morning? God knows the hairs of your head. Some of us is easier than others. He knows the hair on your beard. Amen. And he knows the hairs of your head. He has them numbered. And the Bible says he knows my downsittings, he knows my uprisings, he keeps my tears in a bottle. Listen to this. How great are my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. And he says, the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Did you know the Lord has your best interests in mind? Now, I don't know how God could love me. Okay? You know, my sense of self-value is not made up in me loving myself, because I already do by nature. Okay? But my sense of value is that the Lord loves me. How great are my thoughts towards you? The Bible says, as the sands of the sea. I heard a preacher one time say he was down at the ocean and he stuck his finger down in the sand and he pulled his finger up and he started counting all the little grains of sand there on his finger, and he said he lost count when he got into the hundreds of grains of sand. We have an infinite God, and he says that my thoughts towards you individually is greater than all the sand that is upon the seashore. Did you know that God knows you better than you know yourself? You know how God can say this? If you follow me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you something. You don't know the desires of your own heart. You don't know what would make you happy. When you were in first grade, you thought marrying your first grade teacher would be, you know, she thought she was the love of your life and that would make you happy. Now looking back, you realize that was not a true story. And then, you know, your first job, you know, you got when you're 16 and you've told your mom, dad, well, I should just drop out of high school. I mean, they're paying me $4.25 an hour, right? And I'm having made. I'm fine. And, you know, that wasn't the right thing, the right desire of your heart. And that's why the Bible says this. He says, whoever saves his life or does his own thing will lose it, but whoever loses his life and follows me, the same will find it. I'm going to tell you something just in my life, and I hate to give personal illustration, but I never wanted to be a preacher even after I got saved. I never liked to be in front of people, and I still don't like to be in front of people. I still have a hard time sleeping on Saturday night. You know, and so that was never my desire, but I just knew, hey, I just want to give the Lord everything I got, and the Lord led me to that, and I can say today, I know that God had put me in the right place. When God puts us in the right place, we get some silly fantasy in our mind that we think is what's for us, and it is. God always will, if you follow him, he'll blow holes in that, but he gives you something that is so much better. I think here at the church, you know, you always got made up in your mind what the church is going to be like and what kind of people are going to be there. You know, I never imagined pastoring a church where everyone moves every 2 years. You know, I've been here almost, 5 and some years. And, you know, I joke with people, well, this was church number 2, this was church number 3. And, you know, when I'm talking about different people, man, we rotate. Last summer, we lost 10 families. 10 families moved. But you know what? I have an opportunity to minister to hundreds more people than all the other pastors out there. And I couldn't tell you, begin to name just different people sitting here this morning that have been saved and baptized in our church and have grown in the Lord in our church. And we get to prepare them, invest in their lives, and send them off. Again, is this something that I envisioned in my mind? No, but this is something that the Lord leads us to. The Lord knows you. He knows all the fronts that we put on, everything. He sees through them, and He sees the real us, and He knows you better than you know yourself, and He knows what's best for you, so you can trust Him. He said, I know my sheep. Here's another thing here I want us to look at. If we're in Psalms 23 there is a trilogy of Psalms about the shepherd. Psalms 22, Psalms 23, Psalms 24. Those three Psalms are always put together. If you read after anyone who studied the Psalms, and there's three different portrayals of the shepherd in our Bible. One is the good shepherd. Talk about John chapter number 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the psalmist talks about the great shepherd. And then also there's the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. These are portrayed right here in the Psalms. I want to look at a few verses here about the power of the shepherd. Look at verse Psalms 22 and look at verse number 1. This is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Look at verse 14 of Psalms 22. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. Here we see, what do we see? Christ on the cross. I lay down my life for my sheep. You see, the power of the shepherd was a power, first off, to save us from sin. The power to save us from sin. You know that you and I are purchased possession. The Bible says we weren't purchased with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, I am bought and paid for. You know, I am 35 years old. 13 years ago, at the age of 22, I received Christ as my Savior. I was purchased that day. I am His possession. You know, how safe is my salvation? It is safe. There in John chapter number 10, the shepherd's psalm, it says that I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. Who's stronger than God? Who can take His sheep away from Him? He purchased His sheep there on Calvary. He purchased the pardon of our salvation. You see, He paid for the penalty for our sin. That means this, every sin that I'd ever commit. You and I, the Bible says, let the whole world be guilty before God. Really to say, now a lot of us say this, I think we're taught this by society, you know, unfortunately, but we say, I think I'll go to heaven because I'm a pretty good person, all right? And so we go say, okay, if you died right now, you stand in front of Christ, and there was a screen up there, and we're all witnesses, okay? We're all witnesses standing here, and I said, okay, well, I'm gonna play up here, Bob. No Bob's here, is there? I'm gonna play up here, Bob, all his Bob's sins that he has committed from his youth up. How many would like that to be done for you? I don't think we say, no, everyone close your eyes. Please, close your eyes. And then say, okay, at the end of this, the Lord judges the thoughts and intents of our heart. We're going to play on the screen every wicked thought that you ever had. We'd say, okay, this is going to even get worse. I mean, bottom's dropping out here on this show. Okay? And you know what? The Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took every single sin that I would ever commit, past, present, and future, and paid the penalty for that on the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He paid for every sin that I would ever commit. He paid the penalty for my sin. The great shepherd purchased on the cross. We see the shepherd in Psalms 23, of course, but then look at Psalms chapter number 24. In Psalms 24, look at verse number 1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord for righteousness from God of his salvation." Here's the last thing about the shepherd, is that he's a chief shepherd. It says, "Who shall enter in the tabernacle of the Lord? He that has pure hands and a clean heart." Okay, let me tell you something this morning. None of us have clean hands and a pure heart, but from the grace of God. The chief shepherd. Here's three reasons why we'll never want. We shall not want in life. We shall not want in this life. The whole time we're under the sun. The whole time we're above ground. You know, as we say, hey, it's a good day. I'm on this side of the dirt, right? Okay? And the whole time we're here on this earth, we shall not want, because we have a shepherd that will lead us, that he will guide us, that he'll give the satisfaction, he will give us the comfort that we need as we go to him. There is not a decision that you will go to make that he will not, if you seek him with a true heart, that he will not reveal his perfect will to you, that he will give you the desires of your heart, that he will lead you in the way of understanding. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy steps. He shall. So I shall never want here on this earth, because the Lord is there to guide me in all the steps of this life. I shall not want in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Now, a shepherd had a guide through the pass of death. Just like if you were crossing a mountain range, you'd hire somebody to go to the other side. Now, this person go to the other side of the mountain range is someone who has hopefully been to the other side and back. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know why we can rejoice in Christ Jesus? Because he took the stinger out of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I know a shepherd who has been through death and back again. I am the resurrection. I live forevermore. The day I go to die, I'm going to be singing the song, "When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." Do you know that death is way overrated for a Christian? Death is way overrated. Now, I'm not looking to go, folks. I'm not looking for the bus to get there, but I know when that time comes and I go on that ride, I know as soon as I step out of my body that the Lord is going to be there to guide me through. I shall not lack in death. I shall not want in death, because he will be there. And then I shall not want in eternity, because he's going to take me to mansions of righteousness. He is going to take me here back on this earth. And let me tell you something, all the things in this earth are all corrupt, are all perishing. The devil tempted Christ, bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And here's what Christ said essentially, I don't want your dirty, stinking kingdoms. Because I'm having a better one to come. And you and I, the Lord is preparing us as sheep for that eternal kingdom. I shall not want in eternity someday. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we thank you for being the good shepherd, and we thank you just for working in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us during this invitation time just to recognize once again that you are our shepherd, that we are your sheep. And Lord, I pray that we would just each individually submit ourselves to just following you in every aspect of our life, to putting our trust in you, to putting our reliance upon you, to living the faith life. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you died for us. We thank you that you care about us and think about us continually. Lord, we thank you for these things. We pray you bless the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. As the pianist plays, just by testimony of an uplifted hand, you'd say that I know for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I know taking the time and the place where I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I lift up my hand as testimony of that fact this morning. God bless you this morning. You hear this morning, you say, I have some doubts in my heart. I'm not 100% for sure that I'm saved. I'm not 100% for sure that I'm a child of God. My prayer is that I'd have that peace and that confidence in my soul. And that's my prayer this morning. If you're like that, you slip up your hand. If you're like that, all right. God bless you this morning. The altar's open. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come. Altar's open this morning.